The City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm open lines this hour. Fresh back from Austin, Texas. Or, of course, I was at KLBJ doing the show Friday night. And then their Talk Fest on Saturday. Let me tell you something. The people of Austin, Texas are fantastic. Gracious, gracious people. Hello to all of you out there. Next hour, thinker Howard Bloom, our guest. For the complete show, with a brain bigger than a computer, Bloom will talk about all things that are going on this planet. So you're all invited to sit in at the table and just listen to our chat with Howard Bloom. Here's some of the stories of the day. Pope John Paul II has influenza. Normally, I would not lead the show with this story. I'd mention it, of course. But he's 84 years old, very frail, and some people are having some premonitions about him, and they've been writing in, so I thought I would at least tell you a little bit more about this. He canceled some scheduled audience appearances today. Again, 84 years old, he came down with the illness on Sunday, and doctors advised that he cut back on his activities. He has apparently joined the more than 1 million Italians, they say, who have come down with the flu. The last time the Pope skipped an audience for illness was in September of 2003 because of an intestinal ailment. Senator Hillary Clinton was giving a speech. She collapsed while delivering this speech to a local chamber of commerce in New York, recovering and then resuming her busy schedule. The Democrat from New York was going to be taken to a hospital, but she decided against it after being treated by an emergency crew at the scene. Now, this according to our affiliate station, WBEN, in Buffalo. Her Washington, D.C. office issued a statement to the public and colleagues assuring them of her health. She's okay. An aide said that the 57-year-old Clinton recovered. She ate crackers, drank water, and Gatorade before going on with her schedule. She then walked out of the building under her own power, smiling, saying thank you to people in the hotel. In South Africa, a decaying finger helped forensics experts identify a farm worker who was thrown to lions by his former employer. A police reconstructive technician inspector testified how he was able to take a print from the finger found in a lion breeding exposure, along with other remains and torn clothing. The police fingerprint expert testified that he then matched the print to the dead person's identification records. The print had not changed despite the finger being badly decomposed. A farm owner and someone who works there in South Africa are being charged with murder. Iraqi leaders turn their focus now to the long process of building a representative democratic government, with Sunday's election providing a newfound sense of optimism in parts of the country. The prime minister, the interim prime minister, Alawi, told a news conference that today we are entering a new phase in history. They're counting up the votes now. Amid the jubilation, however, reminders of the war were never far. The Arabic television network Al Jazeera aired a video showing a militant group firing a missile at a British C-130 Hercules transport plane that crashed Sunday in Iraq, killing 10 British military personnel. Insurgents had vowed to wash the streets with voters' blood on Election Day, and dozens of attacks were carried out Sunday in which at least 29 people died, 71 others were wounded. Animal rights activists could face 5 years in jail for targeting firms linked to animal research facilities under new government plans. Now, listen to this on the heels of what we were talking with Alex Jones about on Friday night in Austin, Texas. The amendment to the serious organized crime and police bill covers suppliers such as construction firms or cleaners working for animal research firms. Now, measures to stop harassment of animal research facilities and their employees are already in the bill. Campaigners say the government's proposed laws are not justified. The amended bill would make it a criminal offense to cause economic damage through campaigns of intimidation. The plans already in the bill include giving police powers to arrest anyone protesting outside the homes of scientists and the power to ban them from returning to a specified home for 3 months. Federal prosecutors, by the way, have dropped charges this month against an amateur astronomer who exposed a buried surveillance network surrounding the Air Force's mysterious Area 51 air base in Nevada. 58-year-old Chuck Clark was charged in 2003 with a single count of malicious interference with a communication system used for national defense after prosecutors held him responsible for the disappearance of one of the wireless motion sensors buried beneath the desert land surrounding the facility. Now, in a deal with the government last January, Clark agreed to enter a one-year term of pretrial diversion, it's called. It's a kind of probation, and to either locate and return the device or make financial restitution to the Air Force. And he paid them back with cash. Clark was already known to Area 51 buffs as an expert on the spot the government calls the operating location near Groom Lake, Nevada, where in 2003 he discovered an electronic device packed in a rugged case buried in the desert, given away only by a slender wisp of an antenna poking through the dirt. The sensors, there's about 100 of them, by the way, were all marked U.S. government property. Well, regardless of what's going on in Area 51, those sensors, for obvious reasons, need to be there. And Clark agreed, and he paid the fine. On the coasttocoastam.com website site, look at the feature story about a centuries-old UFO coin, which still remains a mystery. Now, after decades of seeking possible answers about a mysterious UFO-like design on a 17th-century French copper coin, a prominent coin expert says it remains just that, an unidentified flying object. After half a century of research, the design has defied positive identification by those in the coin expert community. This is what they say. It was made in the 1680s in France, and the design on one side certainly looks like it could be a flying saucer in the clouds over the countryside. Is it supposed to be a UFO? Is it symbolic of the Bible's Ezekiel's wheel? After 50 years of searching, I've heard of only one other example of it. Nothing to explain the unusual design, the experts say. The legend, also written in Latin around the rim, is also mystifying. It translates to, "It is here at an opportune time." Is the object in the sky symbolic of needed rainfall, a biblical reference, or visitors from beyond? You can go to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look for yourself and see what it means. I have to read you this story. And by the way, we've got a quick visit from Dr. Morgus in a second. So, George, I'm a police officer in town outside of Boston. I work the midnight shift, listen to the show every night when I'm on patrol. I just wanted to share a true story with you that has never been explained. In the fall of 1988, a patrolman from my department was called to a home for some unexplained noises. Now, listen to this story. This one's incredible. Upon his arrival, he was met by the parents of a little boy who stated that he was hearing knocking noises on his bedroom wall. This officer went into the little boy's room, figuring that this was a little boogeyman story. The officer expected it to be a routine call for service. The officer asked the little boy to demonstrate it for him. The little boy knocked on the wall, and for sure enough, there was a knock back. After it was ruled out that there was no one else in the house and that the parents weren't playing a game, more officers were dispatched to the home. At one point, there were approximately a dozen officers in the home. The knocking response continued any time the little boy knocked on the wall anywhere throughout the house. At one point, there was an officer in just about every room to try and determine where the knocking was coming from. A canine dog was brought into the home to try and find the source of the knocking, but according to the dog's handler, the canine was acting very strange and was unable to determine the location of the source. When it was determined that nothing else could be done, a majority of the officers then left. On the following day, a Roman Catholic priest from a local parish came in and witnessed this very scary knocking display. The priest blessed the entire house, and the knocking noise was never heard again. To this day, many officers who were there that night are still spooked by what they heard. There is an official police report on the subject, which is now closed and labeled unexplained. I thought the Coast listeners would like to hear it. You are so right. And before we go to the phones, Dr. Morgus is with us with something for you to listen to.
Now here is the saga of Gravedigger Brown, who handles a shovel like nobody around. 3 feet wide and 6 feet deep, he works by night 7 days of the week. Never a business and never a soul could fare so well in such a home. Of no other job could it ever be said that business is good when business is dead. With gentle hands he shovels the mud and drops it upon you with barely a thud. In no time at all, the job is complete, and you rest in peace from your head to your feet. Do try your best to remember his name. All who have done so have yet to complain. So give him a call and order your plot. With his hole comes a warranty that you'll never rot.
If you want to hear more of Dr. Morgus, his website is www.morgus.com, M-O-R-G-U-S. Here are the phone numbers for you now for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line ready for you at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi, where are you?
I'm in, San Diego, California.
Well, welcome to the show. Listening to us on Kogo, no doubt, huh?
Yes, I am.
Good. What's up?
I'm not too long of a listener, and I listened to your last show, and you're on your new show now, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about, your last guest was talking about biotechnology or bio-microorganisms?
Well, chips.
Oh, chips. Okay. Well, I would like to talk about what the... you know, the weird viruses that we're getting now, like the colds that don't turn into colds, the flu that doesn't really...
They're everywhere. I know people who have been coughing for 3 months.
Thank you.
And they can't stop.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. We never had this when we were growing up. I'm 43 years old. I never had a cold that wasn't a cold or a flu that wasn't a flu.
And then when it went away, it was gone.
It was gone.
Right?
Yes.
I know. There's something going on. Maybe it's in the air. Maybe it's the chemtrails. I don't know. But whatever it is, it is a virus that just won't go away. And they can't seem to treat it either.
Do you think it's a little cuckoo to say that it might be a terrorism type thing?
I wouldn't go that far right now. But whatever it is, it is
sure
a very strange strain.
Maybe because they're digging up the rainforest and stuff.
Maybe. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
Yep.
Bye.
I was told a long time ago by an old college professor, he said, if we go in there and start digging up the rainforest, you're going to uncover some things in there that have been dormant for thousands of years. He might have been right. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast, and where are you?
Hi, George. My name is Louis Garcia. I'm from the coastal bend of Texas here in Corpus Christi.
Hello, Louis. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, something's been bothering my mom and I. We're both, my father passed away January 2004, and she was praying at the altar here, for, you know, praying to, you know, for hope his soul made it to heaven and everything. And all of a sudden, we got a phone call. It was 111-111-111, you know, all once.
Oops, looks like he hasn't even left yet.
Exactly. So we were like all spooked out because I told her, I said, Mom, we heard this on XM radio on the way down here. You know, because I thought there was somebody in your program that was talking about this a few months back. And I said, maybe that's what it has something to do with. And then tonight we got another call, 111. This time I answered the phone and nobody answered. All I heard was a static.
So you tried to answer it and there was nobody on the line.
Yeah, all I heard, it sounded like far away, and all I heard was a static. And I called the operator and she told me, well, let me send you over to our blocking number. So I tried to block the number and it wouldn't even let me block it.
Oh, you can't block those numbers.
Yeah, so I was like, we're both freaking out. We're like, man, maybe our father's trying to tell us, yes, he did make it to heaven.
Yeah, that could be too. Might be a good sign, Louis.
You think so?
You got it.
Okay, because that's what she wanted to hear. She's over there listening to you on the radio. But
you just hold the old thumbs up to her. He's okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Louis.
All right, bye-bye.
And some other callers used to say that maybe they were telemarketing people who called because they've got that kind of number. But you know, a lot of people say when they go to reach for the phone, there's nobody there. So like Louis just said, just plain old static. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hello, George. This is Justin calling from New Orleans.
Hello, Justin.
An amazing image was revealed to me on a folded $20 bill, and if you have one handy, I could talk you through it and let the image be revealed to you and get your reaction.
Sadly enough, all I have is about a five and a few ones on me right now. But is this the one of the Twin Towers and
yes,
the Pentagon?
Sir.
Yeah, we've had that posted on the coasttocoastam.com website. Maybe, Lex, you can bring it back up again at a certain date. It is uncanny the way it's folded, and it looks exactly like some of those pictures.
It is, and if you notice, the flames, quote unquote, are at the points of contact, and also the supernatural real because it works on bills pre-2001.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It is as strange as it gets.
Well, I'm usually on the cutting edge of knowledge, and I happen to be the last one to know, and for the person who pointed out to me is my 11-year-old goddaughter. So I just want to make sure that you knew about that. You were the first one I thought of.
Yeah, we know about it. Hey, thanks for the call.
Sure.
I saw this about 2.5 years ago, I think, about a year after 9/11. And it was just scary when you look at it the way it is. And then also, you know, there's the Pentagon in there too. I mean, I tried to find out from the Treasury Department who designed the new $20 bill, and they wouldn't tell me because I wanted to know if that person had any psychic or intuitive abilities to do what he or she did, and I was never able to find out. First time caller line, you're up. Hi there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, it's a ghost story, basically.
Okay. How long? I may have to put you on hold. Do you want to wait?
It's not very long.
Okay, go ahead.
We had a friend die when we were younger. It was a brother of a friend of ours. He was like 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we drove down that road, his brother would say he kind of felt spooked out. We understood. Well, unfortunately, about 3 years later, his brother died less than 100 feet from on the same road.
That is ironic.
Well, the scary part is when me and which would be our best friend, how we had three guys that ran around together, went to his funeral. At the end of the funeral, me and my buddy was walking back to the car. And I got in the car, and I kind of got like a spooky feeling.
Yeah.
And like off in the distance, I could have swore I seen him and his brother standing there along the trees.
Just kind of like looking back at everyone?
Just kind of like looking back, yeah, like towards the graveyard where they were both buried.
Funny you say that, because a dear friend of mine that I've talked about a lot on this program, George Poulos, he lives in Los Angeles. He's an old-time actor and comedian. And when his mother died in Chicago, he was... He was in, you know, one of the cars behind the hearse,
and he was sitting in the back seat with his brother. He was looking, and they're going right past the mother's house, apartment. He said, "George, as God is my judge, I saw my mother on the porch looking at us drive by." That's weird, too.
Here's the worst spooky part. I wasn't the only one to see it. My friend did as well.
Exactly. His brother saw the thing, too.
That's what was the spooky part to me. Can I give a shout-out to the Fantastic Forum?
Go for it real fast.
Hello, guys, on the Fantastic Forum.
You
Thanks,
got it.
George.
Okay. Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you ever need to email me with any kind of stories, like the one from the police officer in Boston that I read about the knocking in the little boy's house, it's just George at coast2coastam.com. It's simple enough. And those of you who have a computer, get up to the feature story on the coast2coastam.com website. Take a look at the centuries-old UFO coin that still remains a mystery. And if you're able to get through on the phones, tell me if you think that does look like a flying saucer. It sure does to me. Some people said, well, no, maybe it's just some kind of a shield or something. No, not in the clouds. I don't think so. It's strange. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue the next hour. It's the human thinker, Howard Bloom.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, we're going to go live to New York City in a moment at the top of the hour with Howard Bloom, the human thinker. He's got all kinds of things to talk about. And with Howard, it's kind of like we invite you into his living room, even though poor Howard is bedridden. He's been there for a long time. He's got his computers there and stuff. But what a mind, let me tell you. So we'll be chatting with Howard about a lot of things going on this planet, and you're all invited to sit in with us as we discuss things, and we'll open up the phone lines later on tonight so you can chat with Howard yourself. While I was in Austin, Texas, they brought some of the After Dark CDs that I've been talking about for a month or so, and people in Austin scooped them up. I mean, they were gone. Part of the deal was they wanted me to autograph them one at a time. So before the presentation and after, I sat there and I did that. But it gave me a great opportunity, too, to meet a lot of people in Austin, Texas. And let me tell you something. Coast to Coast is a big program. Sometimes when you're in the studio with your producer and engineer, you don't really understand the scope and the depth of this program. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing people in the real world It's huge, and very impressed with the people of Austin. The After Dark CD, if you'd like one, well, you can go to the website at afterdarkcd.com. It's also got a link there with the coasttocoastam.com website at the bottom, so you can see that. Or you can call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. Little suggestion on this problem with people breathing out there. The executive director of the Black Diamond Vortex fast blasts every once in a while says the problem could be by changing your air conditioning, heating, air filters every few weeks. That could clean up the condition, and just make sure you do that. So, hey, by the way, the people in Austin, while I was up there, one person came up and made a suggestion that we do open lines one day for people who have invented things and they just can't get them to market. So what we might do on Friday, in addition to open lines, is open up a special line for inventors just to see what they've come up with. And I don't think anybody will steal their ideas, but you never know. Let's go back to the phones. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
It's so great to be talking to you from Rangerville, Texas.
Now, where is that?
Well, about 4 miles from the Mexican border, near Brownsville.
All right.
I thought I'd call tonight. It's my son's birthday, actually, here in Texas at this time.
How old is he?
He's turned 16 today. His name's Maxfield.
Happy birthday, Maxfield.
Anyway, we were talking about, well, remember when he told us about his past life when he was 3 years old? And I thought, oh, George should hear this story.
3 years old he told you about this?
Yes, it was so exciting. We were living down in San Miguel Allende in Mexico, and central Mexico. And he was three, and my husband had gone to the beach with a friend of his and had come back and saw a bunch of different ruins in Mexico, different sites, Tulum and Palenque and all this. So he was showing us the pictures, and they were all out of sequence. And my son starts looking at them, and he says, I used to live there. And, you know, we're like, what? And he said, yeah, I used to live there. And then he pulled out different various ones, and they were all of Palenque. And we said, where's that, Max? And he said, Plank. And I was like, Plank, okay. And so we're just like, okay, be open-minded, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you used to live there, huh? When was that? Oh, a long time ago. Okay. Well, so we're trying to think of, you know, what to say. So, you know, we're down there away from TV, so he's not getting this off, you know,
right,
the Discovery Channel. So we said, did you live to be an old man there? And he said, no, I wasn't supposed to. And
oh, my God, what a great story.
I know. And so we said, well, was I there? I said that to him. I said, was I there? And he said, no. He said, yes, but you weren't my mommy. And
Which confirms one of my theories, which I'll tell you about when you're done with your story.
I said, well, was your dad there? Yeah, but he wasn't my daddy. I said, what about your sisters? He says, they were there, but I didn't know them. Now, how does a three-year-old come up with this?
I know. He's not creating the story in his little mind, that's
no,
for sure.
No. And so, I said, well, did you have a job there, you know? And he said, I said, well, did you have a family? Were you married? He said, no, I wasn't supposed to.
Did he ever tell you what he was? I mean,
well, he didn't have words for it.
He didn't understand it.
I asked him, I said, well, did you live to be very old? And he said, not very. And I said, well, do you remember what happened? And he said, well, the guys with the feathers and the gold necklaces took me up on top here, and then I died.
Oh, my God. They sacrificed him.
And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, then I shrinked and I was in your tummy.
Oh, my.
So we're freaking out, right?
Oh, my.
And later on, My husband goes to Palenque with Max. Max jumps off the bus. He's still three. He jumps off the bus and starts running up this pyramid.
What do you mean? How did he jump off the bus?
Well, it was a bus, and when the bus opened up at the Palenque,
and then he was gone.
He was out the door like a shot. And he's running up this pyramid, and he's really little, but he's a big kid, but he was three.
Yeah.
And Scott had a bad back, and he was trying to follow him, you know, and he could hear him. He ducked into a door and kept yelling, "Daddy, Daddy, come on, I got to show you my treasure."
Oh, my God.
Now, we hadn't been talking about this around him or anything. And so Scott's following him. He's riding around through the, and finally, he comes upon Max, and Max is standing in front of a room that is empty. And Max says, "Look, Daddy, someone took my treasure."
Oh.
And my husband said there was a sign there that said that the treasure of the high priest, and the doggone it, I can't think of his name, was moved to a safe location.
Do you think he was the high priest?
Well, yes, I do. And I know that, you know, right, everyone thinks they're, you know, Cleopatra or whatever,
yeah,
and I don't have any such notions. But, I mean, he went back up on top of the roof. They went up to the top, and then he said, my husband was complaining about his back was hurting, and he said, Max turns to him and he says, "The sleeping sharks can cure your back, Daddy."
The sleeping sharks?
Can cure your back. And Scott says, "Well, the sharks can't sleep. They have to move all the time." And Max looks at him like he's kind of stupid, and he said, "The sleeping sharks can cure your back." So, and then he looks around and he says, "Something's really, really wrong." And Scott says, "What is it?" And he goes, "I know, they forgot to paint everything." He said, "This pyramid was either red or blue. That one over there was red or blue. I can't remember which was which. They forgot to paint everything." Anyway, they run into an archaeologist who is there getting ready to build on a new section of Palenque.
Yeah.
And they totally believed what Max was saying. They said he was totally right about the colors, which one was red, which one was blue. There wasn't any way to know about it.
He's reincarnated. Now, if he was the high priest, though, why did they do him in? Why do you think they would have sacrificed
him? That's what the archaeologist said. He said, when the king died, the only person who knew the whereabouts of his treasure was his high priest.
I see.
And so he had to be put to death.
Ah, that has got to be one of the most compelling stories I've heard.
I was so shocked. And then he pointed to an area where he said, "You need to clean that up over there on the map." And he said, "That's just where they were going to dig next." So we don't know about whether they actually did, because my son's 16.
Now, does he remember anything anymore, or has he grown out of that?
He's just heard the story a lot. You know, after about 6 months or a year later, he was talking about how there used to be Ninja Turtles there, too.
That's incredible. Okay, I got to move on. Thanks for that story. That is a great story. And by the way, what I was talking about was that I have always believed that under reincarnation, the people that you are very close to in your current life, that you've had some kind of association with in past lives, you might not have been related to them, but somewhere along the line, you're all intermingled, and I think that's exactly what happened with him too. Great show. Thanks for sharing that with us. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How's it going, George?
Good. Thanks.
My name is Shauna, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
First time caller.
KEX Radio, no doubt.
1190 KEX, that's right. I have a little ghost story for you. We live in Milwaukee, Portland, Oregon, and in our bathroom downstairs, it's really funny how we go in there and use the bathroom and turn the light on. And the light will come on for a second, and then it will flash off. And then for the rest of the time that I'm in the bathroom, the light will be off. And then I'll flip the switch off and walk out of the bathroom, then the light will come on.
All right, I'll say a short circuit somewhere.
We checked that out, and it's not that. It's everything down there is working perfectly fine, and
no problems with the switches. Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. My friend went in there one night. He turned the light on. The light came on. It was on the whole time he was in there. He flipped the switch off. Same thing happened again. The light came back on when the switch was off.
What's going on in that house?
You know what? This house is really old, but I have no idea. I heard some noises earlier tonight, which was kind of weird and scary in the bathroom. kind of sound like, you know, the white noise movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you hear stuff, the electronic stuff. Yeah. Or was hearing stuff out
I haven't seen the movie, but I heard all the trailers on this show, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was hearing stuff out of the faucet in the tub. And my cousin tells me, oh, it's just because the water's ran low. No, actually, the water was off. There was no dripping, but I could hear a noise in the faucet, like some kind of talking noise, but I couldn't understand what it
you
was.
You got to put your ear up to the faucet and see what they're saying next time. I love it. Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. I was in a house a couple months ago in Los Angeles. There was nobody there. I tell you, as God is my judge, I heard people upstairs. I heard boxes moving. I heard tables moving. I thought for a moment somebody was living in the attic. I went up there. I checked. There was no one. I went back downstairs. Same thing happened again. I talked to the owner, who's a dear friend of mine, and said, what's going on there? What's happening in this place? And he said, you know what? I don't know. But when I'm here, I hear the same thing all the time. There's something going on in there. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Uh-oh, I hear clicks.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. I almost hung up on you.
Uh-oh.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
My father died about 7 years ago. It'll be 8 years in October.
Well, we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he died at 57 of stomach cancer.
Mm.
And it was just a really shock. A year from the date he got diagnosed, he passed away the same month, exactly a year later. And we were really close. He raised us most of the time because of some different circumstances with the divorce. So he was, he raised myself and my brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were just always really super close. I mean, I, you know, grew up, got married, had a baby, got a divorce, and he was always just right there by my side. Always my, you know, just,
he was a good dad.
He was a very good dad. And he taught me a lot about God and religion and having faith and keeping faith. And when he died, I was probably in mourning for a few years. And after I got over all that and became unnumb, started having dreams where I would visit him or he would visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take me places, like where he was. He would show me, like, our old neighbors that had passed away. Like, remember this person and that person? And yeah, well, look, here they are.
Would you see them as they were, or would you see them in a different environment, almost like a heaven type thing?
Well, it was a different environment, but it wasn't necessarily, it was like maybe a house and rain and wearing rain boots, kind of weird, kind of different.
Maybe the mind does that, though, so you'll understand it better.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not really sure. That's why I'm calling. And a lot of different times this has happened to me, to where I've just woke up, maybe clenched with my pillow. My pillow will be full of tears and my nails digging into it.
Yeah.
Thinking I'm hugging him, and I wake up and he's not here. And it's just that he really takes me somewhere. He shows me things. He tells me things that are going to happen. And then these things will happen. And then I'm even more scared. I'm not sure. I mean, I know some people say I shouldn't be scared. My son tells me you shouldn't be scared. It's a gift. But to me, it's kind of scary.
Why?
You know?
Why are you scared?
Well, because I kind of don't want to know what's going to happen. Some of the things that I've seen haven't always been very good.
Well, but it's your father, right?
Right. Yeah.
And he's always been good to you. And I don't think you have any reason to be afraid of that. But whatever you're doing, whether you manifest this because you need to, or whether it's really happening, it is a gift. Go with it. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, well, do you know anything about this? I mean, does this sound different to you? Is
no,
this
are you kidding? Listening to the stories on this show, it sounds very normal. It happens to a lot of people. It does. Mm-hmm. And are you glad it continues?
Well, now I am, because I miss him so much.
Yeah.
It's the only time I can visit him, you
See?
Know?
Well, then don't worry about it. I mean, if you start putting up barriers, it might not happen again. And I don't think you want to do that.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, not at all. Okay, thanks for the call. We still got time for a couple more, don't we, Daniel? Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, good evening.
Hello.
Mark, Naval Academy graduate.
All right. How long were you in the Navy?
How long was I in the Navy?
Yeah.
Oh, about 10 years altogether.
Beat me by a year. I was in for 9.
I was in
direct commission back in 1981 until 1994, but I was out for a couple of years in between, and then I went back in and did a long stint as a reservist doing some projects.
Well, I've been out since about 1977, and I was a surface line officer.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I called primarily to ask you if you had any amplifying information or a response to something I brought up with you a couple of months ago. I had mentioned to you at the time that during the period when Hilly Rose was temporarily hosting the show, when Art was having his difficulties years ago, he delivered a very striking report once, which was never followed up on by him or any other.
Well, this is about, you're going to talk about those prehistoric animals, right?
Yes.
I sent an email to Hilly, and he sent me back the story of what he had, and he had picked up a small paragraph story about some bones or full dinosaurs found in a cave,
I remember. In Australia at a low temperature, perfectly preserved, supposedly.
Yeah, he didn't follow up on it, but he did remember the story, and he did say that he found it on one of his news sources.
Yes, he stated at the time that the authorities were keeping a lid on it so as to discourage people from flocking in to get a look at it or something.
Well, if that's the case, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Because apparently there was no more information. I had asked him to see if he could find me more information on that, and he could not.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, one of your favorite topics is the Hollow Earth theory.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you might want to check out. Back in the 1970s, there came into my hands, unfortunately I no longer have it, but I happened to purchase and read a paperback entitled Secret of the Ages, UFOs from Inside the Earth.
Who's the author, do you know?
I don't recall, but the title was Secret of the Ages, and the subtitle was UFOs from Inside the Earth.
Well, our 10 million researchers will get that for me in seconds. Okay, thanks.
It was a paperback, and it contained photographic plates purporting to show the hole at the North and South Pole, which, according to this theory, leads to the hollow interior.
All right, I'll have the name of that author within seconds. I'll be back in a moment. Howard Bloom, our guest. Get ready to go. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.